President Trump's call to change or end the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals immigration program, which of course is known as DACA, has been responded to with protests across the nation, as well as here in New Jersey, where over 17,000 illegal immigrants are enrolled in the program. More recent demands regarding information law enforcement by the Trump administration has caused some to believe that the DACA program is now becoming a bargaining chip in a variety of ways. Joining us now with his analysis of this matter is an immigration attorney who specializes in that aspect of law with the law firm Bramnick, Rodriguez, Grabas, Arnold, and Mangan, LLC, Michael Noriega. Thanks for being here today, Michael.
Hi, Chris. Thank you so much for having me.
And to learn more about the law firm Michael is associated with, johnbramnick.com is the website. If you're in need of immigration law and other services, they have attorneys in a variety of areas of expertise, including what Michael's focus is with immigration law. When you look at the latest terms of, I guess, DACA survival that the Trump White House put forward this past week, which includes limiting family-based green cards to just spouses, minor children of citizens and permanent residents, and requiring that children trying to escape violence in places like Central America be turned back or quickly deported. What was your initial reaction as far as what you see the overall intent of the White House and the Trump administration regarding the DACA program?
My initial reaction is that there is a disconnect between the actual folks that are here that are trying to do something good for their families, trying to establish a better life, and providing something of benefit to our societies and our communities, and the reality that we want to have safe borders and we want to make sure that there is lawful immigration going forward. There's been a problem at the border for years, and it was almost an open-door policy that makes sense that as a country we'll want to secure that and make sure that we don't have free-flowing illegal immigration across the borders. The problem is that we've allowed that to some degree, and now we have to face the reality of what do we do with the folks who have taken advantage of that point of weakness. And they've come to the country and they've begun to develop roots and establish themselves in our communities, support our communities, work within our ranks. And once they've taken advantage of things like DACA, got about, you know, by my figures, by what I've seen, it's about 22,000 people that are employees in our companies. They are teaching our students, our kids. And we're going to ask that all of them become unemployed, that all these companies and businesses lose their employees over the course of the next 6 months based on this decision from the administration. I think it's it lacks a bit of heart and a bit of common sense as to the economic impact it's going to have on us all, especially New Jersey. 22,000 people that are suddenly from one day to the next going to be unable to prove their ability to come to work the next day. And these are people that have no criminal histories, that have all the proper documentation that they need to have at this moment in time, that are suddenly going to lose it from one day to the next and not be able to come into work. At this point, I've had a huge amount of people come into my office and say, I'm working for this great company. I've had the employers themselves come in and say, I've got this great employee. They're wonderful. I rely on them on a daily basis. And they're telling me that in 6 months, something's going to happen. Their paperwork or something is going to expire, and I need to know how to help them to fix their situation. And in the great number of those cases, there's nothing that's going to be able to be done because Congress hasn't acted to remedy the situation. Without comprehensive immigration reform, without some method to allow people that are here, that have established their roots and are contributing to our society, to gain some form of residence lawfully going forward, we're going to continue to have this problem. And it needs to be addressed now.
So in effect, the DACA program has taken illegal immigrants and made them, I guess the technical, maybe even the legal term would be provisionally legal under the DACA program. But there are many who argued, and I believe Barack Obama, when he created the DACA program, even alluded to the fact this may not be even constitutional, but he was going to do it anyway. Was that part of the problem?
No. So they're not. If we're going to be speaking technically, they're not legally here in terms of their status. What the DACA program did was defer any decisions to remove all the individuals, all the 800,000 folks that qualified. And really, these are all individuals that were, against their will, in large measure, brought into the country without their knowledge, really, of what was going to happen next. These were all kids that were under 15 years old. Most of them did not make any conscious decision to enter the country. Their parents brought them in. And what DACA did was defer the government's decision to move on their deportations and, in the meantime, give them some chance to get their formal education and to have all the proper documentation to allow them to live freely, get employment, have authorization to work. And they put pretty strict regulations on it to remove anyone from the program as soon as they commit any infractions. And I think that's key to remember, that it did have a catch for anyone who, even something as maybe it's not a minimal offense. A DUI is a very serious offense, but it's not a criminal offense in New Jersey. But a DUI is enough for somebody to get kicked out of the DACA program. So there were restrictions placed on it to make sure that people were doing the right thing. And all of these 22,000 folks in New Jersey had been doing the right thing. And if they didn't, they were out of the program, and they lost on an incredible benefit to be able to work, get an education. A lot of them have gone into nursing, into education. Some of them are on their way to becoming lawyers and doctors, and it's being stripped right now. So I understand the arguments that President Obama didn't have the authority to do it, but when you have this amount of people that are juveniles floundering in the country with nowhere to go after high school, he gave them some ability to contribute to our society, to start paying taxes, to come within the ranks of their communities and find good employment. It filled our schools. It filled our ranks of working citizens, even though they didn't have citizenship. And it gave them some sense of belonging for the time that they're here.
With Michael Noriega from the law firm Bramnick Rodriguez, Grabas, Arnold, and Mangan, LLC. JohnBramnick.com is the legal firm's website. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Michael specializes in immigration law. And that description and those details you just gave the listener to, Michael, I think brings about an understanding of why we see the poll numbers fall as they do regarding the DACA program, because basically every demographic, polls break down to as fine-tooth comb of a demographic as you want to get, but among Democrats, Republicans, liberals, conservatives, Trump supporters, Trump voters, all the demos say a majority of them want to figure out some way for the people in the DACA program to stay. And I guess the conflict is, well, we have the emotional sympathy for the person in this situation, but then we look at the law of the immigration law and saying, well, yeah, but square one, they were breaking the law. And I think that's where the disconnect comes about.
I think that is the toughest component to deal with. And I have some thoughts about that, which is we are a country of laws, and we can't completely disregard the fact that somebody broke the law in order to enter the country. But as a country, we have to take some responsibility for our conduct up until the point where folks came in, that we had an almost open door system. And then beyond that, our employers employ folks that don't have papers, and they continue to do so. So we're contributing to the problem because people feel they can just come across the border, and then when they get here, they feel they can just get a job. So once you give that level of invitation, you have to take some responsibility for what happens to those people next. We can't suddenly turn back the clock on 10, 15, 20 years of people establishing roots in this country and say, we're going to pull you out by the roots and we're going to put you back in a country you haven't seen. So since we are a country of laws, what we have to do is put people on track with penalties. And the penalty can't be the absolute punishment of banishment from the country. I think we're more reasonable than that. There are a list of things that we can do to put people on track for putting them online. You know, the word amnesty is far too polarizing, but to put people online and say, listen, you can eventually get your green card, but maybe it's going to take 10 years. maybe it'll take 15 years. And what happens in the meantime is you're going to pay a financial penalty for having come in illegally. You're going to stand online. You're going to pay taxes. You're going to get a job. You're going to learn both languages, keep your Spanish, whatever other language you have, learn English. And you're going to stay on that track until you can reach that point and then become a lawful permanent resident down the road. The biggest penalty that that will bring is, in most circumstances, based on the 2012 legislation that was proposed, it wasn't an immediate amnesty. People would have to stand on that long line, and most times they would not be able to return back to their countries while they're waiting. That's a pretty significant penalty. They have parents that are passing away, they're losing their elders, and they're not able to be with those family members during those periods of time, and they're making that sacrifice to be in this country for a better life. And if they can sustain that, if they can do the right thing, avoid criminal activity, pay taxes, keep employment, then why don't we want them here? And if we are a country of laws, we can survive the fact that they're paying their penalties for the crime that they committed, for the illegal act they committed by walking in. I think that might be the trade-off that we need to have people get back on track, because it's not going to be a from one day to another amnesty that they're suddenly American citizens. That's not fair either. But if they can get online and wait their time in the right order, then maybe we can survive and have people eventually become a part of the society and be legal, and we can curb the illegal immigration as well.
And I would certainly not be against the concept, because you mentioned how many of these in the DACA program are studying too or have become teachers and members of the medical profession. I think in the cases of that idea that you just expanded upon, people like that, I would put easily in the front of the line and give them the most expedited path to citizenship, because they've chosen to do something that is without question giving back to the country that they want to call home.
Right. And for a lot of them, I mean, they've been here since they were 5, 6, 7. This is their home. This is the only place they've ever known. They're as American as you can be. And the other issue is that when they're beginning their families, their children are American, and they're being raised in America. They're being raised with American values. If you're deporting those new Americans, grandparents, and even their parents, what does that do to their psyche and their future? I mean, what kind of an America are we going to see where, you know, there's about 12 million new Americans whose parents and grandparents, their immigrant story is going to be, well, yeah, I was pretty happy in my childhood until my grandfather got deported back to a country that I didn't even know we were from. I think there has to be some sense of fairness in how we make people pay penalties for their unlawful acts. You know, we have a system of laws, and we should include this in that, and the penalties should be commensurate. I don't think permanent banishment is a fair penalty under the circumstances, and there just isn't enough discretion at the moment, and immigration law should allow for some more discretion so we can hear some of these stories and hear some of these ways in which people are benefiting our society and our community here in New Jersey.
At the same time, too, I think the idea of the concept of sanctuary cities is also not a good path to go, because it just further stigmatizes the people who are the focus or within the situation that is causing the problem in all this debate. And it's just a matter of we're thinking of this as one hand it's this, the other hand it's that, but there's a lot in the middle that has to be further explored, understood, and openly talked about for, I think, a fair conclusion to come about, which many points of which Michael addressed here. And if you're in need of immigration law expertise, really any element of the legal field, the law firm Bramnick, Rodriguez, Grabas, Arnold, and Mangan LLC is certainly a firm that you would want to turn to. You can check out all their services, their attorneys. They have multiple offices throughout the state at johnbramnick.com. Michael Noriega, thanks for being here today.
Chris, thank you so much for having me.